The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Irish Racing Preview. We're going to look ahead to Saturday evening's action in Kilbeggan. They host a 7-race National Hunt card. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me on the line to look ahead to the action is William Hill Radio's Irish Racing expert, Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
Good evening. Well, good morning, even.
Yeah.
Good evening. Where did I get that from? I'm looking at the card tonight, you say, and I'm thinking this evening.
Yeah.
You know what I meant.
Well, it depends when they're listening. It might be evening by now.
Yeah, exactly.
By the time somebody's listening. Kilbeggan tonight, Andy. What do you make of it?
Fairly straightforward card, really.
Yeah.
A lot of Kilbeggan specialists, lots of horses in good form. Couple of shorties, couple of ones at nice prices. I think we'll do all right tonight here. I'm quite confident.
Okay, good stuff. Well, we'll start in the first race, which is the 5:25, and it's a Colts and Geldings maiden hurdle over 2 miles and 3.5 furlongs. And you mentioned the in-form runner as well. Lucky Pat comes into this in winning form, and he's a bit of a shorty as well, 4-6 at the time of recording. Silver Shuffle is 3-1, 8s for Bontamina, 12-1 for You Actoran, 20-1 for Josh's Chance. We Will All Go is also 20s, and then 25s or bigger prices the rest. So we start with a shorty, Andy. Do you think it'll be a winning start for the favourites?
I do, yeah. I think this is a really good bet, 4-6, funny enough. I think this horse will just completely smash this lot into smithereens. I mean, it's a really weak maiden, and Di Lover's found a really easy opportunity for this six-year-old who got off the mark under rules at the fifth time of asking last time at Galway Festival. It was the final day of that at Bonanza down in Ballybritton. This horse couldn't have won any more easily than he did. It was a really positive front-running ride as well from Derek Lavery, who set this horse off in front and never really looked like getting caught. He's a really big, strong unit as well, this lad, and he ran him into the ground. And in that race, there's a horse called Corvini, who previously finished third early on in the week and was a strong and warm order to go two places better for the Dermot Wildstead. But we just couldn't cope with the power and the strength that Lucky Pat set from the front. And, you know, with anywhere near the level of that kind of form, he should be good enough to win an above-average maiden hurdle at this time of year, let alone a race of this weak nature. I mean, second favourite's Scobie Coogan's Silver Shuffle, who's a bit long in the fang now to be going hurdling. And he's a seven-year-old, and he's 0-22. I mean, you couldn't possibly back that with counterfeit money. And the third favourite, Bogtamina, has also had 14 opportunities and yet to get it. His head in front as well. So, I mean, this is the penalty kick of all penalty kicks. I actually, because I think 4-6 is an absolute gift. I'd be sort of 3-on, 2-7. You know, it's just literally a clear round for this horse. He's got previous form as well in point to point, so his jumping shouldn't be under scrutiny. And these brush hurdles are fairly easy to skip over as well. So, from the front, Lucky Pat, run him into the ground, and one of the best 4-6 chances you'll ever see.
Okay, confident selection and Lucky Pat in the opener. The 6 o'clock is the second race, and this is a mare's novice hurdle over 2 miles and 3.5 furlongs. And Ask Vic is the 11-8 favourite this morning. It's 2-1 for Beach of Feliza. Well Tuned is 7-2, 7-1 for Donna Pasty, and 33-1 for Urban Dusk, the outsider. So only five of them in the lineup here, Andy. Which one do you side with?
I think there's a smidgen of value here, and I think William Hill have dangled a real juicy carrot for me here with John Nicholson's in-form mare, Well Tuned, who's been running against some very good horses in her last two or three starts. She started off here three starts back when just beaten by Roger Rue in a maiden hurdle, but she hasn't really looked back since. And she finally got her head in front over hurdles at the 11th time of asking. That was down in Limerick when she set steady fractions from the front. Looked as though she was going to be gobbled up by Beach of Elisa as Aine O'Brien's charge came sauntering up beside her. But once again, Beach of Elisa found very little off the bridle and looked very uninterested in going by Well Tuned, who stayed on very strongly. And then at Courtney the day, Upton Trip, similar tactics were employed by this five-year-old, and she almost pulled off an unlikely victory as well when she only just got run out of it on the running by two very strong stayers, Court and Catcher and Wahib. Those two horses are rated in the 120s. So, you know, at the official weight, she had absolutely no chance of winning. And the fact that she only got beaten neck and half a length by those two in-form runners suggests that she's in the form of her life. And I think she'll nearly make all the running here tonight. And as I said, 7-2 looks an absolute phenomenal price. I think she'll beat Beach of Elisa again, who, like I say, is a horse that spits a dummy out. I couldn't have that on my mind. The danger's got to be, obviously, Ask Vic. who has won at least a maiden hurdle down in the Stile before getting readily brushed aside down in Belliestown. And to be fair, she had her limitations quite thoroughly exposed on that occasion. So I do think Well Tuned has got a good chance here of upsetting the apple cart. So 7-2, I think she's a massive prize. I'd almost have her in, well, not necessarily dead favourite, but I'd have her alongside Asfik anyway. I think she should be around about a 2-1 chance here. So I think we should get stuck into Well Tuned in the second.
Okay, bit of value then potentially in Well Tuned in the 6 o'clock. The 6:30 is race 3 on the card, and this is a handicap hurdle for 4-year-olds and older, rated 80 to 95. It's over 2 miles, and Wait and See is 15 to 8 at the top of the betting this morning. 9-2 for Drive the Bus, 9-1 for Die Green, Chief of Panama is 10s, 11s for The Nathologist, and 12-1 or bigger prices the rest. Wait and See, Andy, got off the mark at the first time of asking in handicap company, and that was arguably a stronger race than this. So is she the one to beat here?
She is. Yeah, I mean, she's the only one I can select with any degree of confidence. The one slight bizarre thing that I can't quite work out is that the cheek pieces that were on last time out down in Ballinrobe, which saw her victorious that day over Swantikay, are not on tonight, which I find totally and utterly staggering, whether that's an oversight by the secretary at John Walsh's stable. But, you know, considering that contraption certainly helped this horse get ahead in front, why would they not be on tonight? But anyway, that's a... by the by, I certainly think, you know, she's got the best form in this race. Beating Swantikay, who was in good nick at the time, and way back in third with Sportsline, certainly should be good enough to win a race of this nature, regardless of the cheek pieces not being in operation. Not many of the others are, you know, tippable or reliable enough for me to get involved with them. So it's a very unoriginal selection, picking a horse that's won its last race. But in the circumstances, I think that's the right choice.
Okay, Wait and See then, the selection in the 6:30. The 7 o'clock is race 4 on the card, and this is a maiden hurdle of 2¾ miles. Magical Moon is 13-8 this morning. Lord of Isney is 7-2, 4-1 for Ticker Light. Colophos is 6-1, 10s for Glebe Park Hawk and Mississippi Landing, and then 14-1 for Dominetta Vitali, the outsider of the field. 7 of them here, Andy. Which ones are on the shortlist?
Well, you'd have to have Magical Moon on anyone's shortlist, even though he's a frustrating character. He's yet to win in 16 starts over hurdles. And that's the only slight issue we've got with him. He's capable of winning, but has he got the inclination to put his head in front? You know, you look at that run last time out at Galway, and that definitely represents the best piece of individual form coming into this race. Third to Greatness and Golden Ticket in a strongly run race at the Galway Festival. And prior to that, he'd run well in Ballinrobe beyond Whatever It Takes. You know, that brought together one or two horses in good form, and it was a well-contested contest. So those like repeat of that form should be good enough, but it's whether he's actually, like I say, going to want to get his head in front, which is the only slight issue I've got. You know, and he has been, I suppose, priced up accordingly at 13-8. So if you're looking for a smidgen of value here, I'm going to take a bit of a punt with Ticker Light here. This mare arrives here having fallen at the third last when going quite well in the hands of tonight's pilot, Johnny Burke. Now, I've been on about Johnny Burke for quite a while, and, you know, he's certainly been living up to the expectations anyway. He rode a nice couple of winners down in the Galway Festival. And he was certainly getting a tune out of this six-year-old the other day down in Roscommon when, unfortunately, disaster struck at the third last. And the blinkers seemed to be working the oracle with this horse up to that time. You know, she hadn't really shown a great deal. So with the blinkers on again, with Johnny Burke on, hopefully avoiding trouble and many mishaps, I think Ticker Light, round about the 9-2, 4-1 mark, can certainly give Magical Moon plenty to think about.
OK, moving on to the 7:30 next, race 5 on the card, and this is a beginner's chase over 2.5 miles, and we've got another shorty in this race. This time it's Seafood, who's 5-6, 7-2 for Time to Work, Il Phenomeno is 7-1, 9-1 for Dancing Row, Easter Hunt is 14s, and so is Hurricane Ridge, and then 25-1 on bigger prices the rest. Seafood, Andy, was a pretty useful hurdler a couple of years ago, and looked as if he'd get off the mark over fences last time, but a blunder at the last cost him, well, the unseated rider, and therefore out of the race. But if he reproduces that effort and keeps the partnership intact with Barry Geraghty, is he the one to be here?
Yeah, he certainly is. Yeah, again, another unoriginal selection, but hopefully a winning one in the shape of Seafood, as you mentioned. Really unlucky here the last day when making his chasing debut. Well, not his chasing debut, but he's back over fences for quite a while. Of course, he'd had previously another couple of spins over fences early on in his career. In the interim, he's been hurdling and hurdling to a decent standard. He got up to a mark of 138, courtesy of many good efforts in handicap hurdles, and he looked to be returning to fences in the right possible fashion until, like I said, disaster struck at the last. it was a really odd mistake as well. He seemed to be meeting on the right stride, and Barry sort of threw him at it. He rather put down and just caught the top, dragged his hind legs through the back, and it was kind of like that loss of momentum, which meant that Barry Geraghty had no horse to sit on as he landed over the other side, and unfortunately unseated, much to Barry's probably irritation, and many of the punters that backed him into short price favouritism on that occasion. He certainly, you know, at least shown he can jump pretty well. I just think he just took his eye off the ball more than anything else. Because I don't think it was a bad mistake or suggesting that he's a bad jumper in any way, shape or form. So hopefully with that experience, you know, dusting himself down with Barry on board again, probably wise, a little bit wiser this time. Hopefully Seafood can finally get off the mark over fences at the full time of asking.
Okay, the penultimate race this evening is the 8 o'clock, and this is a handicap chase over 2.5 miles, and a good handicap chase as well, with plenty of these coming into this in good form. Quarton is the 3-1 favourite this morning, 4-1 for Fever Pitch, West Haven 9-2, 5s for Lethal Weapon, The Doctor's Daughter is 5-1 as well, 11-2 for Best Value, and then 14-1 for Canali, the outsider, as the betting shows there, and it's very tight. And who do you side with in the 8 o'clock?
Yeah, it is very tight, Mark. Yeah, not a race to have too many strong opinions on. I certainly think Quarton should go well from the Gornley-Ennett stable. He returns to fences having run well in his last three or four hurdle races. He's in fantastic form. That run down in Killarney behind the informed Giants Quest the other day represents certainly the best piece of form over hurdles coming into this race. You've got horses that have gone really well around this track before, including Fever Pitch, who's won a 2.5 mile handicap round here before and ran well in the Midlands National the other night behind Came Hill. And then you throw in the likes of Lethal Weapon, and Best Value and West Haven have all got good recent form. It's probably a race to savour and probably the best race on the card. I'm going to go with an informed stable of Narmead here in the shape of West Haven, however. I do think his yard is very much a stable to keep on the right side of at the moment. They had 2-3 winners in the last week or so, including a couple at the Galway Festival in the shape of Maxim Gorkin, Road to Riches, of course, who took the Galway Plate. And then Bossy Incard won the other night down in Roscommon to keep the Kildare handler ticking along quite nicely. And this horse absolutely adores this track. That's one of the reasons why I'm selecting him. He's yet to be out the first three in full start. He's a winner of a maiden hurdle back in the day. And he comes off the back of a good win down in Tipperary last time out, over 2.5 miles tonight's trip, where he travelled really well in the hands of tonight's jockey. Good ground, suits him fine. Like I say, he likes a sharp right-handed track. He's jumping secure. And at 5-1, he just looks the kind of horse I want to be tipping in a race like this, where, if you like, value and sort of angles are very thin on the ground. So West Haven, with his track form, with his stable in form, just about gets the vote at the prices in the 8 o'clock.
Okay, West Haven there. Then in the final race this evening is the 8:30. We finish with a 2 mile bumper, and Dandridge is the 9-4 favourite this morning. 3-1 for Call Me PJ. Rolly Lala is 5-1. 6s for Bahana. Mr McGuinness is 9s, and then 14-1 and double figure prices for the others. Who do you say within the lucky last?
Yeah, I'm surprised that Call Me PJ isn't favourite here from the William Fitzpatrick stable. I thought he shaped really encouragingly on his debut down in Ballinrobe, when he was an unfancy 20-1 shot, but he ran much better than his odds suggested, and he travelled like quite a good horse actually throughout that race, so much so that I thought he was actually going to win coming around the home turn, but in doing so he ran a little bit wide off the home bend. As we know, Ballinrobe's got a bit of a hairpin bend round the bottom part of the track, and he just lost three or four vital lengths which he couldn't quite recover, but he did actually keep his equilibrium and run quite strongly in the latter stages to get within two lengths of the previous winner, Run Fly Run, who of course represented the William Mullins stable. So that wasn't a bad return on debut, finishing runner-up to a Mullins horse, and you know they were nicely clear of the rest in quite a good time. So despite the claims also of Dan Ridge from the Arthur Moore stable, who was second down in Sligo a month ago, then I'm just surprised that Call Me PJ isn't favourite here. I just think he looked the better horse of the two. Quite a few of these are hard to fancy, or we don't know enough about to be very strong whether they've got solid chances or not. So the two informed horses dominate the market, but I predict that Call Me PJ might end up being favourite, and I certainly think he'll outrun his current morning odds anyway.
OK. Good stuff, Andy. Let's just have a quick summary of your selections, if you'll spin us through them one more time.
Yeah, a couple of short price favourites on the card at Kilbeggan look right for punters for the taking, including Lucky Patner first, who, I've got to be honest, 4-6 look an absolute gift. I could say I'd make this horse at least a 2-5, 1-3 chance on what he's already achieved against a really motley looking crew. probably the best bet the price is well tuned in the 6 o'clock. I'd have her in much shorter than 7-2 currently with William Hill. I think that's a bit of a gift. I certainly think she'll trade a good deal shorter in the run anyway. She's likely to make the run in. Wait and see. A Victor the other day in the cheek pieces, without the cheek pieces tonight, which is a bit of a strange move from connection, should go close in that 6:30. I'll take a chance at Ticker Light in the blinkers again with Johnny Burke on board, goes well in the 7 o'clock. Seafood looks the second shortest price favourite on the night, which should give punters plenty of solace in that beginner's chase. West Haven represents an informed stable who goes well at the track, will give podcasters a good run for their money in the 8 o'clock. And Call Me PJ, who shaped really encouragingly on his debut down in Balling Road, but gets a chance to go one place better in the final bumper.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you very much, Andy. Good luck with your selections and enjoy the action in Kilbeggan this evening.
Will do. Cheers, bud.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.